Blog Talk Radio.
As we sail into the mystic, hark, now hear the sailor's cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. Where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day.
Good evening and welcome to Cinnamon Moon at Night. I'm your host. It's my pleasure to spend the next couple of hours with you. The show is sponsored by the Spirit Lodge Resource and Study Center, and that's located at spiritlodge.itgo.com. You can study independently or with assistance when needed. It's open to the public, so you can visit as often as you like. With a topical library of over 1,100 articles, you'll have plenty of good reading to do. If you've registered with BTR, feel free to join others in the live chat room during the show. You will need to be logged in. And consider following my Cinnamon Moon pages and joining our Two Moons talking groups over on MeWe and Facebook. Your questions, comments, and personal spiritual experiences are most welcome. And for confidential matters, I can be reached through my pages, the groups, as well as Spirit Lodge. Next Monday's program will be an evening with me, and my topics will be insight into elemental changes and sacred spaces. Tonight, I have two topics to share with you. The first is what's in it for me, and then I'll be talking about your perfect light. Calls will be taken during the second hour, time permitting, if you have topical comments or questions. The number to join me on air is 914-338-0494, and then option number one will put you in the queue. So let's get started. When beginning to explore something new, how many times have we asked ourselves, what's in it for me? Why should I do this? Well, naturally, tonight I'm going to be talking about spiritual development, and I'm sure you're wondering why I suggest you look at spiritual development this way. You may even think it's a bit selfish to take that approach, but in a way, it is, but then spiritual development is all about the self first, you see, and the world around us then just naturally follows. We have to get to really know ourselves and what we're made of along spiritual lines, where we need to change or strengthen our weaknesses, correct our flaws, empower ourselves. We simply do not develop in any direction unless we can see a needed advantage to us. So it's important to get to know yourself and to become consciously aware of your authenticity. There needs to be something that serves as a source for your own personal gain. And if you're not going to hold, if it's not there, you're not going to hold interest in the subject matter that you're being presented with. So instead, you're going to start to feel force-fed, and no one likes that feeling. It's just uncomfortable. No one wants to be forced to think a certain way or perceive a certain way. I don't want to force-feed anyone, but if I can stir up a bit of that interest, I'm all for it. So let's get started with a hands-on approach, shall we? Let's really look into what's in it for you. How about healing, the healing of old wounds and transmuting them into empowerment? Not in an egotistical sense, but in a humble one, one filled with gratitude and understanding. You don't have to be a victim. How about this self-discovery or your birthright as a divine being about who you truly are and why you are here? That's something we all wonder about from time to time, but too few of us really take it any further than a conceptual theory. The reality is that you are a divine being, you are immortal, and as such, you have some very special gifts and abilities, a reason to be here, things to learn and things to accomplish. But that's the spiritual you, not the physical you. The physical you is the vehicle to accomplish that. What are these things? Spiritual development will help you remember what they are. Guidance will show you the bits and pieces that help you connect the dots, your purpose, your life's mission. It's there inside you, and your spirit knows what it is. What's in it for you? You'll find it's all this and so much more. Energy is all around us. You're comprised of energy. Spiritually, spirituality itself is really energy-based. All of life is energy-based. And I want to give you a feel, a small sampling of what this energy is like when you summon it. So indulge me here. First, I want you to clap your hands sharply three times. Do it right now. Do you have your own attention? Can you feel a tingle in the palm of your hands? Do it again. Is the tingle a little stronger? Good. Now hold your hands about 4 inches apart and move them like you're making a snowball. Do it slowly, and you're going to start to feel a gentle pressure between them. If not, then move them a little closer by a couple of inches. You should be able now to sense the energy in that space between them. If not, then move them closer still. It's almost like an invisible, intangible ball. And if you still can't feel it, then clap again and repeat the exercise now that you know what you're looking for. I had you do this for a reason, because energy is always, always there, but we don't always take note of it. That's because it's subtle to the touch at first, at least until we learn to sensitize ourselves to it. And clapping your hands, you just sensitized and awakened the power centers in the palms, you see. The palms of your hands have these power or energy centers in them. This exercise activating them allowed you, or should have allowed you, to feel the energy. It's very soft, almost like a whisper. And if you haven't felt it yet, keep repeating the exercise, because you will. They're sensitive, the hands are sensitive to the flow of different sources and forms of energy. And I wanted you to feel it present with you so that you could raise your conscious awareness with an instant validation. Most people have an instant response, and with that instant validation, you can practice with it if you haven't felt anything. Had I simply told you about it, you'd hold the theory, but instead I presented you the personal experience and you found out for yourself what that's like. Like I said, energy exists all around us in countless variations. It carries information, penetrates our being, it passes through us, it tells us about so many unseen or otherwise unnoticed things. Learning to read energy, or energy signatures as the artist called, is part of the early process behind spiritual development, and it's a valuable one. Once you learned, you'll be using it for the rest of your life. It's a powerful skill. That's something that's in this for you. In order for you to develop spiritually, another issue is that you must consciously open your mind to new experiences. You see, the mind at first controls what we're willing to experience. You are, in truth, its commander-in-chief and need to recognize that. Why do I say this? Well, again, it's because if you choose to expand your thinking and willingness to experience things new and untested, the mind will follow your directives and at least open its door, but you have to make that choice. From that point forward, the experiences will teach you and your mind will embrace them as part of its reality and your choice to explore it. So it's about being able to perceive the intangible world. Otherwise, it shuts these things out completely and tells us, oh, that's fantasy or the theory of some unproven sort, by allowing the ego to rule. And the ego loves being in charge. Naturally, it's best when we have some tangible validation, at least for ourselves. But initiating into the spirit realms is an initiation into intangibilities. We can't show others our experiences. We can only see and feel them for ourselves. Others don't, as a rule, experience what we're experiencing in the moment, unless they're already open and they're attuned themselves. You may have shared an experience here and there, but most of the spiritual encounters you'll have will be very private in nature. You will share them mainly with somebody else who has had spiritual experiences that you know and trust. Because spiritual development is a journey that unfolds over time. There's no need for rushing things, just maintaining a steady pace is all that it's going to take. So you can go ahead and relax as you explore. You should feel comfortable with it. Your spirit will stir you if you need to pick up the pace at any point. You'll feel the urgency, or it'll slow it down more and pause should that be called for. So don't worry. You've got the cues you need, and they're everywhere around you and within you. Initially, what matters is that you follow your interest to see where they will take you. That's something else in this for you. As you gain knowledge and experience, that leads to understanding. These interests that you hold in so many different areas are there for a reason. They're going to weave together, and they lead into fantastic discoveries about yourself, life, and the world you live in, alongside alternate realities and dimensional realms. We talk about dimensional realms, and I'm just going to segue for a moment to explain to you that they are dimensions of consciousness. As we raise our consciousness higher and higher, our vibratory frequency increases, and we become aware of more and more of the intangibles. So the interests you hold are the seeds that your spirit brought with it when you incarnated into this life, and very specific seeds that are meant to guide you into necessary areas of exploration so they can take root and grow. And that germination begins from within you to inspire the human side of your nature and assist you, the divine spirit, in achieving what you came to learn and accomplish, not to mention what you're here to contribute before returning home. Speaking of returning home, life is short, even if you're given the span of time allowing you to live into old age. For many, it can be cut shorter than that, and so it's a very good idea to have these understandings as you make your way. If you allow your curiosity about your interest to grow, some pretty amazing things begin to happen. Now, I mentioned they were seeds, and I just want you to understand that these seeds, as they create the threads that weave together, you have they help you understand yourself. But if you think about the seeds themselves and go back to childhood, there was something that fascinated you. It may have been a creature, it may have been something to do with gardening or herbs or any number of things. You never stop learning about this. It has always stayed as an interest with you. And when you can pick up tidbits about it, you file them away inside. You remember those things because they matter to you. Okay? And these are the kinds of seeds that your spirit brought. Now, for many, life, like I said, can be cut short. So if you allow your curiosity about your interest to grow, amazing things begin to happen. And some of those experiences are pretty darn phenomenal. And they begin to develop in your spiritual studies, and they are so divinely magnificent, you simply can't deny them. But because those experiences are so phenomenal, you start looking into other matters that you need to know about. That's why all of it's happening. There's a reason for everything. Now, this is when the mind begins to expand on its own and even more wondrous events continue unfolding. Spiritual development is a lifelong process, so learning never stops, and the inspiration you possess is there to inspire you to keep going. Your dedication comes from the heart, not only the head. though you may find it intellectually stimulating in your studies, the heart has to be involved. I'm 74 years old. I have been practicing for, 55, 60 years now. I have been consciously aware since the age of 5. It's lifelong. And my passion today is as strong as it was when I was a little girl. Stronger, probably, because I've gathered so much insight. And you can, too. I'm no different than you are. When you love what you do, when you find fascination in the ironic twists and turns that come with spiritual development, the heart begins to sing with joy. So a happy heart is also in this for you. The wonder and awe of the spirit worlds being known and touched is in it for you. The validations will come, and I can promise you they will. Sometimes you'll need to develop patience, as everything isn't instant. But I can assure you that they do stir the mind to embrace more and more of the fantastic side of life, and can be instantaneous at times too. Before you know it, you're developing skills, abilities, and understanding countless things you never knew you could even comprehend. It's so very thrilling to learn that you have these gifts, and it's not just somebody else, but you've got them. You have the ability within you to work with them. We all do. They're yours to work with and master. Once you accept that you're going to begin recognizing on your own, you can employ them as your journey unfolds, not just spiritually, but in the physical sense too. That's something else that's in this for you. The tools you need to meet life's challenges, to work through the lessons and continue to grow as you navigate your way along this earth walk, are your spiritual gifts and abilities. There's an old saying that goes something like this. When you're in school, the lesson is given and the teacher falls silent while the test is given. When in life, the test is given and the teacher is silent until the lesson follows. I'll add to that by saying when studying with conscious intent, every moment is a lesson, and everyone you meet is your teacher. Stay curious, my friends. Stay curious about literally everything you're experiencing. Look for the reason it happened, the lesson that's tucked into the experience. The spirit worlds are filled with rich and prodigious things. They can teach you so much if you walk with the attitude that everything happens for a reason, and the reasons are always good. That also keeps you on your toes watching for those reasons. You'll begin to spot the lessons available to you, and suddenly life becomes so much richer and much easier to navigate. As you're learning to read energy and work with your internal radar system, you'll also come to see guidance is around you constantly and that it always has been. Boy, are your eyes going to open wide then. That's in it for you too. It's in your willingness to experience new things, to open yourself to the possibilities, the potentials within you and within the sacred mysteries that such wonderful things begin presenting themselves to you. And there is so much in all of this for you. You're blessed to be alive in this prodigious time we live in, and you see the teachings are readily available for you today, but it was not always like that. For generations, the sacred mysteries and spiritual knowledge were taught to an elite few who gathered in their secret orders and societies, in the mystery schools and family traditions, and guarded closely over the knowledge they'd acquired. They kept it hidden within the shadows of time to protect it. for several generations, that was a necessity because the laws of the land forbid such practices, and one could be punished severely for practicing outside the law. Here in the United States, back in 1978, the shadows fell here and the restriction was repealed. The teachings began coming out into the open again. Slowly, that freedom began to spread globally. And I was a young girl when you couldn't talk about it, and I was just coming into adulthood when you could. So nothing is ever truly lost, but during those restricted times, it was very difficult to come by. It took indoctrination into the secret orders, which was even more challenging, often requiring a blood oath. Today, it's precedent in all of society. We have access to this ancient knowledge. We're here to share in it and enlighten ourselves so that we can grow in our awareness alongside one another, bringing positive change to the world, serving the greater good. Look around you. At no time in history has the world been in such dire need of purifications, healings, and blessings as it is today. Never have our resources been so threatened as they are today, and this knowledge is available to serve that purpose if we choose to embrace it and utilize our skills. We can turn the toxic and negative issues into something positive. If we choose to work with it, we can manifest so many wondrous things. We're all co-creators, and the universe itself is matching us step for step, but we must be the ones to take that first step into the change that we wish to see. And a change like that begins within ourselves. We choose to be aware. We choose to keep learning, and we step into every learning arena that we can. That means you'll be stepping out of your comfort zone to do the things you feel inspired to act on. It will mean trusting your heart and listening to it when the mind wants to argue that what it's saying just isn't logical enough or that you're incapable of such feats. The thing is, it's not always about the logic. It's about the intuitive impressions you receive and resonate with, the concepts that are being received and meant to guide you at that time, the internal radar, internal impressions, not the words and demands made externally by others, but your own spirit speaking to you through your sensory input. Long ago, I learned that when we live up to our own standards, we rise above the laws of the land because we do the right things. We heed the laws of the land to the best of our ability because it's the right thing to do. But our own standards raise us even higher. There's no need for us to seek the approval of others then because we have found our own and honor our permissions, and we give no one reason to fault us. If they do, it becomes their issue, and we can walk on knowing our integrity is intact, our intentions serve the higher good, and we're doing the very best we can with what we've got, where our interests take us. We're not all meant to be politicians or in the military or a doctor or a lawyer or anything else. Follow your interests. That's where you're meant to go. What's in it for you? A whole new level of freedom and independence and a sense of authenticity to empower you. That's what's in it. Your worldview, your sacred point of view begins to change, and you change with it. If you were to journal your experiences for just 1 year, entering all the spiritual experiences and lessons that you're given to learn, as you make that passage, At the end of the year, when you reread what you've written, you will see the passage and yourself in a whole new light. You will see how much you've grown and amaze yourself with the outstanding progress that you've made. As you journal, you'll find yourself expressing thoughts and theories that you're developing and testing out. Some will be very accurate and others will have some surprising twists and turns, but your thinking will run much deeper than it does today, as will your understanding of how the laws or rules of life change as time passes. Initially, they keep you on the path you're to walk, but as time passes, you create your own understanding of how to stay that path. And there's no one right way. The journal helps you organize your experiences, and for that reason, I suggest you give it several topical sections. Perhaps starting out, you can use things like guidance, gifts, abilities, lessons, phenomena. And as topical sections, then create maybe subsections under those titles. For instance, with guidance as an example, you might want to create subsection for each guide, each spirit helper, each totem animal or entity that you meet. Listing where you met them and how it came about, what you're learning from them about yourself and about them, along with their areas of expertise, of course. And you can do the same thing with the different teachers you encounter because you will have many during the course of your lifetime. What this does is it allows you to recognize that you have teams of spirit helpers of all kinds. So many, it's easy to lose track of some and forget they're there for you. We may forget what they do, so you have a reference section. And we do have to outright ask for their assistance at times, and at others, they will offer it. They cannot interfere in our free will, but they can assist us if we invite them to. And this way, the details don't escape you later, and you have a reference section that will help you determine who to turn to for what purpose in the future. When you have an interest in something and decide you're going to be open to gathering information, a strange thing begins to happen. Because you consciously make the choice to do this, your eyes and ears suddenly open a little wider. You begin raising your awareness and overhear things strangers are talking about when key factors are mentioned, when the triggers go off. And this allows you to tune into their conversations, quietly picking up information that might otherwise have evaded you. It happens when key factors are mentioned on television, in newspaper articles, or magazines. They grab our attention. You begin gathering wherever you can, not to mention what you're gaining in your own research online or at the library and in the courses you elect to take through the different teachers you'll encounter. Everywhere you turn, there's something to learn, and awareness becomes much sharper so you can pick up on things. In this, you're essentially beginning your personal elective course of higher education and becoming self-taught on so many simultaneous levels. In the process, you're going to meet many different teachers, as I just mentioned. Those you resonate with will be the ones that can teach you the most. Some will teach for a day and others for years to come with everything in between. But in all of this, you're getting your foundations placed on solid ground. It gets so remarkably magnificent to have the synchronicities starting to manifest too, and they do. They begin as soon as you make the choice to become consciously aware of the areas of interest you hold. Those seeds begin to sprout the synchronicities, and you, my friends, are the fertile soil for that to happen. Suddenly, you begin attracting them left, right, and center. And oh, how the world instantly becomes so very vibrant and mysteriously magical. Try this. Make a list of your spiritual interests, as many as you can come up with, no set number. Simply the things that interest you most. Categorize them to fit into different areas of your life, including the physical side with family, relationships, career, life goals, health, finance, whatever you think of, and align what you can with your spiritual development interests. In this way, you begin to become aware of the permeation and unity between the physical and spiritual realities that you're exposed to and experiencing. Next, select the top 5 or 6 to start. You don't want to overtax your mind, so set priorities for each category, taking the most important one in each to begin its best. Knowing what they are gives you something to watch for and work toward as you catch those synchronistic moments. Now, guidance is paying attention to what you're doing, so those spirit helpers of yours are going to go to work creating more and more synchronistic events for you. They're going to help you out in a manner and major way, so remember to say thank you. Even if you don't know who they are just yet, just say thank you. I know this was you. Thank you. You might see a key phrase on the side of a bus or a billboard, or you might catch a bulletin board offering a special course of study for a few weeks or seminars on one or more of those topics, perhaps a free lecture somewhere. Sometimes bookstores and metaphysical shops offer workshops you can attend for a nominal fee. Go if you can. Invite your spirit helpers to assist you with this, even if you haven't been properly introduced to them yet. They know what's in your heart and on your mind. They're telepathic. And this way, you can continue to expand your reach, and the spirit world will reach back to assist you. The validations will begin to appear, and the universe begins working with you at this point as you take a necessary step. Then miraculously, an event seems to manifest to match it, one that seems serendipitous, because it is. Be sure to ask all the questions you can of those who appear to hold the answers and really listen to what they have to say. Compare those answers to what resonates with you, because you will feel the truth. Energetically, it rushes through your body. It gives you those goosebumps. It comes quickly and passes quickly, but it will give you either the goosebumps or make the hairs on your arms and at the back of your neck stand up and tingle or send a quiver up your spine. Your internal radar, your GPS is going off. Heed it and note if something feels right or wrong and trust what you pick up. Believe in yourself, stay focused, press onward always, and embrace your challenges. They're there to test you and make you stronger. Don't see things as negative situations. See them as the opportunities they are for you to test your gifts, abilities, and creativity in using them so that you grow stronger. See them as opportunities to call upon guidance in whatever form it presents itself to you. And again, don't forget to ask for their assistance when you need it. You always have free will, and when an option is before you, the choice is yours to make. If you heed your inner sensory impressions, if you're listening to the quiet voice of your spirit, you will not be making mistakes. It's the ego that leads us to our errors when we give it free rein by yielding our free will to it. So the more you work with your guides, the stronger the communication with them becomes. Now, I assure you, they love working with you. It's their purpose to help you and your spirit evolve so that you can achieve all that you came to accomplish for yourself. And you probably had a long list. They want you to see how you can become a contributing factor for the higher good of the physical reality itself. There's an old saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And it's true, we are constantly being gifted with messages from the spirit world. And if a red flag pops up, we're being forearmed for what's coming. Keep your eyes open. It might come today, it might come tomorrow or next week, but keep your eyes open until it shows itself. Don't stop watching for it. Our spirit helpers come to us in many forms and speak to us in a multitude of ways. Always as a timely warning or heads up so that we're prepared for issues of the moment or changes up ahead. Sometimes they warn us of dangers or challenges that are about to manifest, and it behooves us to heed them. At other times, they tell us to look here or there and observe the marvelous wonders of life. And to do that, we have to learn to recognize them for who they are and what they are and pay attention. So it's constantly raising your consciousness. That's in it for you too. Now, another thing that's in all of this for you is the fact that you're going to begin receiving the messages consciously. They can come in an infinite number of ways. Nature and the elemental forces will send you signals. Spirit brings you awareness of your gifts. Your spirit helpers whisper in your ears or telepathically, and they speak to you of sacred knowledge, hidden wisdoms, blessing you when you choose to listen to them. Spiritual development brings you to a new life unfolding, and they are there with you each step of the way. You'll find you're gaining new connections, surprising turning points or junctures that direct you onto a seemingly new path. However, it's a bit of a misgiving to see it as a new pathway. The truth is you've been walking on your path long before you entered the physical reality to take human form. Your spirit, that divine spark of the life force within you, animating your human form, has walked through many lifetimes, and this is one, it's an extension of the journey you, as that spirit, are making. Spiritual development, then, is about coming to recognize, re-recognize your own divinity, your spirit, your life force, and begin to look at life through those eyes. Developing your spiritual awareness means you will become especially aware during chance meetings and unusual visits, during the time someone far wiser than yourself crosses your path, and you need to learn as much as you possibly can from those experiences. If you're consciously aware, you can do just that. And if not, you're going to miss a very powerful experience through your blindsidedness. Since you're initiating yourself to a new way of perceiving, understanding, and functioning upon the path you're walking through this lifetime, a spiritually focused, sacred point of view begins to develop, and it evolves as you continue to learn more over time. You're continually changing and growing, and when you bring that into your conscious awareness, it becomes useful rather than saving it simply for the occasion when growth stares you in the face. Choosing to recognize the spiritual aspect of life daily as a way of life allows you to grow more aware of what is taking place in each moment. You become sharper and begin integrating your motives with your conscious intentions as you raise your vibration right along with your spiritual awareness. And when you do this, you learn the value of connecting with the divine within yourself and beyond as you explore your own depths and learn to move within other dimensions. So by incorporating these aspects into your daily life, you're gaining an infinite source of wisdom available to you at all times which of course is to your benefit if you choose to heed it. Sometimes when we're first starting out, we become concerned about what we think we've been unable to accomplish with regard to communication, lack of clarity, or an inability to raise our awareness in the past or even the present. However, these are normal inhibitions that, when you continue to practice the sacred teachings, do fade as you become more skilled. There can be a sense of futility or wasted effort, and it's important to remember that the process is paced for your benefit and is timely for you. Maintaining that clarity and a willingness to be patient during these times of change or lulls is what will make your efforts more effective. Spiritual development teaches that a correct relationship with your spirit is primary, and once achieved, all else will stem from that with regard to the spirit world and the world of form, as well as the divine. Each step you take is a step into alignment. It, as I've mentioned on numerous occasions, spiritual development is a modest path. It's not one of boasting about how great your accomplishments have been. You may do great things, even some magnificent things, but they're done by the grace of Creator through you. And it is vital you remember this, or you make room for the ego to rule, and that can get quite ugly. This does not mean you cannot discuss things when appropriate, but showing off has no place upon a path being walked in a right manner. You may be in the world, but you're not of it. And if you remember that, you're going to walk through your life in a more graciously sacred and humble manner. It's also important to understand you have an ego and that it has value, but only when you're in control of it rather than allowing it to control you. Spiritual development is about learning a new level of self-control. When the ego is in control, we become closed-minded, narrow-minded, judging, critical, and some ugly traits develop, like envy, jealousy, or worse. In this, we have what is often termed tunnel vision, and we react emotionally rather than with responsibility. We see our way as the only way, and anyone who does not conform is therefore wrong, when in fact it is we who are wrong. We must thus rectify an errant ego before we can progress. Therefore, doing the tasks at hand with regard to our spiritual studies and practices and laying solid foundations and doing our homework allows us to build our cornerstones. In that way, the ego begins to see its proper place respectfully, and it too aligns. And as we develop our skill sets, we're also bringing forth our gifts and abilities while acquiring experience and knowledge. Diligence offsets the carelessness and mistakes that anyone's going to make. No one can do this work for you. The self requires you to come into balance or alignment with the self by your own free will. Whenever there is some trait in others or a situation that does not resonate for us, whenever we feel blocked or challenges, the first thing that we need to do is center ourselves, then enter the silence, looking within ourselves to see if that trait is present there within us. Usually what's not resonating well is coming to us through a mirroring of what we're not seeing as present within or what we maybe need to gain better control over in ourselves. We must be willing to recognize our areas of shadow so that we can transform them. So the question becomes, does this trait or situation reside within me? Am I being shown the reflection of my own internal mirror? If the answer is yes, then you'll choose to transmute the contrary into a positive and turn your vulnerability into a strength. But be warned, the ego will resist looking at that reflection. It will resist breaking past negative habits it identifies with in fear of losing control. You must choose to take on that responsibility for yourself. If the trait is not there, you'll then learn to recognize that the individual has not learned a lesson that you have passed through, and you'll become tolerant of what they do not know, understanding that they will come to it in their own time. So embarking on a spiritual path of raised consciousness means that the life we have been living has outgrown its form and it must die in some fashion. That can be intimidating at first, because if it dies, what will remain of our identity, our history? What happens is that we initiate a rebirth process simultaneously and slowly. And like the snake that sheds its skin over time, we grow, taking on a new and greater presence. So the change is a good change always. But it often calls for a passage into the dark night of the soul, or some call it soul searching as part of the renewal. I think it goes deeper than even that. But what dies must turn to dust. The new must be fertilized and gestate as we assimilate our growth and experiences. So it's all internal at first until we're comfortable enough with it to bring it out into the world. And this brings that about as we essentially are reborn in this new awareness. And in that, we begin to make better choices for ourselves going forward. It's not something we have to announce, but it's something we do willingly do. It cannot be forced. Free will is always present, and you can refuse or embrace whatever you wish. How's that? That's freedom. Should you choose not to grow, then you will enter into a phase of stagnation and no further progress will take place in that arena unless you change your mind. The lessons will continue to repeat until you spot them for what they are and finally do accept the need for change. This sometimes happens to those who see the release of old ways as a loss rather than room to grow. Usually when there's a deep emotional tie to what should be discarded, be it a relationship, a possession, or a situation, it can be radical on many different levels, but always the new changes we enter into are greater than the old that we let go of. Always. You can see where spiritual development is also a process of transformation, which calls for a lot of change. And the changes I speak of are gradual in most cases, usually rather subtle, but sometimes they can be instantly dramatic. It's important to adapt to the demands as they arise and to do so humbly. If we act from ego, the path will see that we're made humble. You see, in order to rule well, you must first learn to serve. And this is done within the service to the self. Rule the self by serving the self, the divine within you, honorably. When you do, you will see that the universe continues to match you step for step, and wonders continue to take place, and you are kinder, more compassionate, more understanding and tolerant of everyone else. Your spirit is the first messenger that you will encounter. It is the one who teaches you about opening your eyes and ears on spiritual levels when you lay your foundations. It comes forward to point out the opportunities, the insights, and enlightenment that initiate you to so much more. Then it introduces you to other spirit helpers, for it is through your spirit that you are able to see and interact with them. So it's for this reason you seriously need to think about the quality of your relationship to yourself. The greater that relationship becomes, the more you're going to discover what a divine being you truly are. It's a very humbling reality, but it feels amazing. Another thing that the self will demonstrate to you is the process of allowing the will of Creator to flow through you lovingly and to feel its presence in all things and to love yourself in that same, what's the word I want? same platonic way. It's just a genuine, unconditional love, unconditional. The sensory signals it sends you aid in discerning what is good for your best interest as well as what is detrimental to your progress. It's black or white, yes or no. And if it is uncertain, if you feel uncertain, it just means don't make your decision now. Get more information first. Until you know yes or no, you don't go there. That's all. So in that discernment, your choices made are wiser and your character molds itself accordingly. Self-conquest is the charge to victory here, and it becomes the lifelong quest with a willingness to undergo whatever changes are necessary along the way. A bold strength becomes yours. Confidence, integrity, grace, and so much more combine in total trust, total love, and an honoring of your divinity, as these are the traits of the spiritual warrior, your spirit, and the self within presents itself as the messenger we seek. It's there. It's inside you. Trust and confidence are issues that determine our true authenticity and our way of being in the world. And if we trust ourselves and are confident in that guidance, then we are that way with the essence of our presence in the world around us. We examine our motives time and time again to be sure of this. The powerful forces of change are teachings we come to know and understand through our experiences, and these things are not easily shared with others. Our teachers and close spiritual family, those we come to walk with along spiritual lines, will understand, but others will not necessarily be able to do that. Therefore, you learn to lift yourself above the ebb and flow of mundane living to achieve a broader vision, your quest along your path, and those quests will be life-altering. Trusting yourself and your spirit helpers is the key that allows you to call in your scattered energy and remain focused. When you're shifting and changing on a deep level, it calls for consistency, patience, and dedication as you assimilate the process. It's not always easy. You will need to stay centered, be prepared for the unexpected and unconventional, see the humor and the irony around you, and persevere. There will be times of cleansing that lead to a strengthening of character. You'll learn restraint in controlling your emotions, including anger and impulsiveness. Such times do not come at our bidding, but as our spirit needs them. And this may seem to go against free will, but it is an agreement your spirit made long before incarnating into this lifetime. In recognizing this, you'll be able to keep your faith in a modest way. And in this, your temperament mellows considerably. Remember, you exist at the perfect center with Creator and Mother Earth always. It's your lack of that awareness that makes you feel off kilter. It is there, in that perfect center, in that perfect light, that you are within the most harmonious and beneficent forces within the universe. Let that knowledge be your confidence and allow it to humble you, because we all exist in that same sacredness. And so in that, the harmonious and beneficial forces of the universe merge and radiate to all that is. You are part of that center. Messenger and messages continue daily. As you continue to grow and develop along spiritual lines, your awareness of how the unseen powers are active in your life, how they nourish and mold you, how they interconnect to all that is, continues to evolve throughout your entire life. You will know a burning desire to immerse yourself in the experience of living and the satisfaction of being able to walk between the worlds of the seen and unseen, recognizing both are part of the same whole. Both are one. You will connect to your intuitive nature and attune to your own rhythms as the self relates in a right manner to the self. My friends, the path you feel drawn to follow is not one born from ulterior motive, but from the interior guidance of yourself for your greater good. In this, you will bring your essence forward and express the divine within. If you need assistance, I'm available through the study center by appointment or chance, and I'll be more than honored to help you through any confusion. Stop by spiritlodge.itgo.com. Take a look around. The resources are rich, and there's something for everyone. You can also find me on Facebook and MeWe. The more you work with your guides, the stronger the communication with them becomes, and they love working with you. It's their purpose to help you and your spirit evolve and achieve all you came to accomplish for yourself as a contributing factor and for the higher good of the physical reality itself. So the more you work with your innate gifts and abilities, the greater your mastery becomes. And in all this, your spiritual development will teach you exactly what's in it for me. You'll have every answer you can imagine. All right. We're at the top of the hour. Let's take 4 minutes and enjoy the interlude with the Hollies and the air that I breathe. When we return, I'll be sharing insight into your perfect light, and then I'll open the phone lines for topical comments or questions, readings, whatever you like. The number to join me on air this evening is 914-338-0494. Option number one, which you can press at any time, will put you in the queue, and I'll be back with you in just 4 minutes. Here's the Hollies and the air that I breathe.
Can't think of anything.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Cinnamon Moon at Night, sponsored by the Resource and Study Center, and that's located at spiritlodge.itgo.com. During the first segment, I addressed what's in it for me when you're spiritually developing, and now I'm going to share insight into your perfect light, after which I'll be opening the phone line. So if you'd like to join me on the air and share a topical comment or ask a question, again, the call-in number is 914-338-0494, and option number one will put you in the queue. Many of you know that each week when I end the show, I remind you what a beautiful, powerful, magnificent spirit you are. I also remind you that you stand in your own light to make it shine and to become a beacon. And I've always done this since coming on the radio. And now I have to share a little story with you. Well, I'd been on the show for around 5 or 6 years. It was around that time I had an experience, and this experience was actually a series of experiences that spanned around 3 different winters successively. Initially, it began by my hearing a celestial choir singing just a couple verses of Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. Nobody else heard it, just me. That same verse repeated over and over again each night for months, and I could feel it was a message, but I didn't quite know what the point of it was at first. It wasn't until it finally dawned on me that my attention was desired by angelic beings, and I only heard them singing in the evening when I was alone and it was silent around me. At first, it was only when I was in the kitchen fixing dinner. Later, I began to hear it in my office too, so I knew it had nothing to do with a specific location. I was able to rule out the environmental factors. It was an external choir, all male, soft and distant, yet definitely angelic. And when I grasped that, they wanted me to listen to them in the stillness of the night, their song suddenly changed. That's when they began to sing, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travel afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain following yonder star." Now that message needed deciphering too, and I realized after working with it for several weeks that there were 3 angels working with me. They were the 3 kings of the Orient, so to speak. And they definitely came to me from afar. Their method of repeating the verses until the message got through told me they were driving an important point through. But it sure was coming in segments. So once I'd gotten that message clearly, their song changed again. And this time they began singing Star of Wonder, Star of Night, Star, or Take Us to Thy Perfect Light, excuse me. And over, and it took me a while to recognize that it was the light within me they were addressing, and that same light I'd been addressing to all of you. They wanted me to take them within, or rather open my spirit to working with angelic forces. And it was a bit ironic with the same message I have spent years sharing with all of you being passed to me, but I had to shine a little brighter in order to get you to shine a little brighter. I had to smile. I had asked for proof. It was the angels, and they gave that to me, returning yet again with another sing-song verse of Halo, Hello, and repeated over and over again for several nights as they returned. A rather angelic greeting, and I admit their humor got me to giggle and relax. What followed was my being reminded of the oral tradition, which is found in most cultures in one way or another. Here in America, the indigenous people hold it very sacred. The stories are told to the young who grow up telling them to their young behind because of the messages they carry, and the wisdom behind the stories is that found through the repetition. So that we do learn the teachings. And here were the angels repeating things to me and reminding me in the process to take others to their perfect light, to take them to their inner spirit so they too could commune. Now that's the overview that brought me to this topic. I recognize how so many have forgotten their spirit is alive. And I see it all the time. People have turned away from this profound truth. They've allowed themselves to diminish the light within, the divine light and wisdom of their living spirit. Our spirit is the source of life within us, a fractal portion of the source of all life. And it is my hope you will find your way to honoring yours if you haven't yet begun to. And I truly hope that you learn to cherish it and get to know it intimately, and in that, establish communion with it. Your spirit waits. What are you waiting for? I'd like to share an indigenous story about Forgets to Twinkle with you tonight, as I feel it's rather significant and that it's a message that is for all ages, especially those who have lost their connection to their inner light and are relearning the means to connect. He was a star, and his name was Forgets to Twinkle. Now, this little brother was a part of the great star nation, and he lived with his seven sister stars, who are still shining brightly there in the sky. If you look, you'll see them. They're inside the constellation of the great buffalo, showing the children where to look. The seven sister stars held the seven sacred directions, teaching us to honor the abundance that the great buffalo brings to us from every direction. And Forgets to Twinkle was always sad because his sisters had the missions of holding the seven sacred directions for the great buffalo, and he wasn't even sure what his mission was. He was so very sad that sometimes he let his light fade away, and that's how he learned his name, Forgets to Twinkle. Now, one sleep, when Grandmother Moon was showing her full face, Forgets to Twinkle traveled through the Sky Nation until he was hanging in the clouds above Sacred Mountain. And his heart was very happy because he could see all the little sisters and brothers of the creature tribe playing in the moonlight. He shouted down to Brother Coyote and asked if he could join in the play, and Coyote was known by all the other animals, the trickster. But little Forgets to Twinkle didn't know anything about any of the children of the earth because he'd never been anywhere but in the Sky Nation. Well, Trickster Coyote shouted back that he would be delighted if this little star brother wanted to play with them, but Coyote thought Forgets to Twinkle was too far away. Forgets to Twinkle thought a moment and decided to come closer, dancing in the sky while Coyote danced with him on the earth. And Coyote started talking to the little star brother very softly, making Forgets to Twinkle come closer to hear what the trickster was saying. Softer and softer words of friendship began and brought the little star out of the sky until he was floating just over Coyote's head. Then that mean old trickster grabbed Forgets to Twinkle and gobbled him up. Forgets to Twinkle was terrified when he found himself inside the trickster's belly. He was so upset he forgot to twinkle and did not know how in the world he was going to get out safely. Around the same moment, the coyote gobbled up the little brother. Grandmother Moon looked down and noticed that Forgets to Twinkle was nowhere in sight, and she looked and looked, but she couldn't see her little brother anywhere. And because she was so concerned, she sent the stars with tails, who were her scouts, out to look for little brother. in those ancient times, the comet people were messengers who would come and go from the great star nation. And these stars with tails searched high and low for little brother without any luck in finding him. Inside the trickster's belly, the little star brother was frightened, but he knew that he had better start remembering all the wisdom his seven sisters had taught him, or he'd never see them again. And after a long while, he finally remembered why he was called Forgets to Twinkle. He'd always been afraid that his light was not pretty as his sister's, and so he would only blink a little light here and there. Now that he was trapped inside Coyote's belly, he decided he better trust his ability to shine brightly. He huffed and he puffed and he sent all of his light into his little star buddy or body, lighting himself and shining as brightly as he could. And the trickster suddenly found that the trick was on him when his whole furry body lit up like Grandfather's sun. Coyote ran and ran, trying to hide from the comet scouts that Grandmother Moon had sent to find little brother. But the trickster had seen the stars with tails circling the prairies looking for Forgets to Twinkle. Old Coyote had thought he could trick the star scouts as easily as he had tricked little brother. Now the slippery trickster was so bright that there was no place he could run or hide without the star scouts finding him. In a panic, the trickster opened his mouth and spit little brother out and then ran away. Now, the stars with tails spread the news to the cloud people, who told the thunderers, who told the fire sticks, that mean old trickster needed a taste of his own medicine. The Sky Nation was filled with the little star brother's angry relations, who gathered up the storms, filling the cloud people with rain people and ice beings who could whip and punch Coyote, and their water and ice bodies were used. Hinoa, the thunder chief, belching his rolling roar, and the thunderbird flapped his giant wings, bringing such enormous sounds that the trickster stood quaking in fear. Meanwhile, little star brother was trapped in the Earth Mother's magnetism. He could not move from the ground to go home. He was still shining brightly so that his sky relations could see where he was, but no one could rescue him because they would be caught in the planetary mother's magnetism as well. He called out to the Earth Mother and asked her to release him and waited for her reply. Well, the storm was moving across the land, giving the trickster a chance to run as he finally found his paws and started to dodge the pellets of ice and freezing rain. And lightning bolts crashed around him, and one fire stick hit him, and finally catching his tail on fire, Coyote ran and ran, trying to think of how he could trick the Sky Nations and make them leave him alone. Little Star Brother finally heard the Earth Mother speak amid the sounds of the thunderers. And her voice traveled on the raging winds that accompanied the storm his relations had made. Forgets to Twinkle, you're going to have to live with the children of the earth now. If I release my magnetism, you will be able to go home. But all my children will fall off the earth and go flying into the sky. You're responsible for forgetting to pay attention to Grandmother Moon's advice and her warning. There's no way that I can help you without hurting my other children. You must stay here with us and decide what kind of creature you would like to become. Well, Forgets to Twinkle was sad, but he knew that the Earth Mother was right. He'd not paid attention and had been tricked into ignoring Grandmother Moon's warning about getting too close. He wanted to be part of the Sky Nation and to see the world from above as he had always done when he lived with his seven sisters. He knew that he would never again forget to shine his light brightly because he wanted his sky relations to know where he was and that he remembered his family. He decided to tell Earth Mother that he wanted to be a flying creature who could shine like a star. And the Earth Mother agreed and changed him into a flying creepy crawler of the insect tribe. She put a tiny star in his tail so that he could twinkle Etius Sky Relations, reminding all the other little brothers and sisters in the great star nation what could happen to them if they did not pay attention to the wisdom of the elders. Even now, if Coyote hears thunder or sees Firefly, he runs away in fear. The trickster remembers that the fire sticks caught his tail on fire and that he had to jump into a pond to put it out. And some people say that the fire sticks and thunder beings counted coupon Coyote, bringing victory and honor to Little Star Brother. And that's how Forgets to Twinkle earned the name Lightning Bug. His firefly tail lights up to remind Coyote of the only relations that ever out-tricked the trickster by catching his tail on fire. And when Firefly's tail lights up, we two-leggeds are reminded to let our medicine shine and to keep a twinkle in our eyes so that the trickster cannot fool us into following the crooked trail. Now, this story is significant because it reminds us that we can trick ourselves into not remembering to shine our light, a light within us, each of us, that is a beacon for not just ourselves to find our way, but for others who need to find their way as well, because we lead by example, by being who we are, by shining our inner light through our eyes, through our smiles, through our hearts, and our energy fields. By shining it through our thoughts, our words, and our actions, we make the world a little better place. Not only that, but we tend to draw the right kind of attention to ourselves, the kind that says we're good people, loving beings, individuals who walk in a right manner and are willing to assist anyone who genuinely needs our help. We're willing to touch another to ignite their soul's passion when it has dwindled to a flicker or less. That we are someone who is walking a path in service to spirit whenever and wherever we may find we're needed, part-time, full-time, just sporadically throughout our lives. What matters is that we keep shining our light. So I hope that in the materials shared both here on the show each week and at the Spirit Lodge Study Center, you find a way to take your guides and your spirit helpers to your perfect light, and that you allow them to help you learn to make it shine as brightly as it possibly can. You know, there's something else I want to share with you. A while back, I was skimming through my newsfeed on Facebook and came across a post by a woman named Cece. Actually, it was a quote someone else had posted by her, so I can't credit the words more than I have here, but I did save the post as it reminded me so much about the work the angels were asking me to do. Simple as it was also powerful. Cece titled her work simply Shine, and her words go like this. There are some things I have had noodling around in my brain lately, mostly when I'm doing random things, driving to the bank or cleaning the bathroom sink or walking down the driveway from the mailbox. I think about growing up and how excited I felt, even in my earliest moments, to be here. I mean, here on this earth, experiencing life. Every morning I woke up, it was like Christmas, just to see the sun shining or the rain or the snow. I was ready. I was eager. And I loved everything and everyone so big. I often wonder, is it possible that I've always been too much? I was in one of the counseling sessions after divorcing my husband when my counselor stopped and looked at me. Cece, I believe you've spent your entire life and certainly your marriage thinking you're not enough. Am I right? Well, his statement made me think a minute, and I came to the realization that yes, I guess so. I think that's correct. I could think of thousands of times when it felt in some way I hadn't measured up. Well, let me make something clear to you right now, he said. It's never been that you're not enough. It's that you're too much. Oh, okay, I'd gotten it wrong, but not in the way I thought. He saw the look on my face and said, what I mean is the people you're trying to please, you'll never satisfy. Not because you're not up to par, it's because you're so far above what they're capable of. What they are is jealous of you. Why do you think they've always taken the opportunities to tear you down? Trust me, if you were of marginal stuff, there would be no need to do that, but you're not. And he sat back in his chair and he said, Cece, you're more connected to the Creator than most. You are far more spiritual than you realize. And I dropped my head. I worked for so long to find and glue all the pieces of myself back together. I was tired, and this sounded like a whole other kind of work. Okay, what does that mean? What do I need to do? He laughed and shook his head, and he said, no work. It's who you are. It means that when you enter a room, you bring the light with you. That makes people in darkness very uncomfortable. Now think about things that you don't like the light, or that don't like the light. He stopped. Let me ask you a question. Throughout your life, do you remember dealing with people who were jealous of you? Well, I felt my face flush as memories flooded my brain and fought for attention. And yes, I had. When we moved to Nashville, I made myself a promise. I decided I would let people know of one thing I could do, but not all the things I do. What does that mean, and why did you do that? Well, I mean, I'm a writer and a singer. I design and make clothes. I design spaces. I paint portraits. I've won awards for pretty much all of that at different times and points in my life. Okay, so you decided to keep all that a secret. Well, yes, most of it, all but one or two. Well, which ones did you choose to take public? The writing and singing. And why did you decide to hide the other things? Well, I paused for a moment and I said, because I wanted friends. And when I said that, it was like a tidal wave washed over me. It was then I realized what I'd been doing for the past 20 years. I put the girl I was born to be in a locked room, and I let her out in private, but she was my little secret. I had made myself small enough so that I would fit into the lives of those who claimed to love me. And that day, that session, changed my perspective and my life. But now back to what's been noodling in my brain lately. Well, I get up every day fully present, almost as eager as when I was that little girl. I thank God for the days and the nights and all the things in them. My light is turned on fully, and I'm not shy about showing the world who I am in every way. But one of my thoughts is, I wonder how many others are playing small enough. How many others are waiting for that magic moment when they can finally shine like a Klieg light? Are they, like I was, thinking that one special moment will arrive and be more magical than this moment they're in? I'm pretty sure it doesn't get any more magical than right now. I'm still figuring all this out, but I want everyone to know this. All it takes is for us to say yes to our own magic, the yearning in our hearts to be our very own, hysterical, outrageous, tender, heartbroken, furious, authentic, vulnerable, brilliant, frustrating selves. And you know, the list goes on. The awesome thing is we get to wake up every day and say yes to it all over again. And I don't have the friends I used to think I wanted, but I'm good with that. The people who show up in my life now are the ones who are happy with the light. In fact, they bring their own. So if I had one word of advice to offer anyone, it would be shine. Her words so beautifully expressed the very message I'd been given to share. and one I'd quietly been sharing all along. I just needed to turn up the light so it could shine, and it reminded me of how I went through something similar. I'd always struggled with drawing attention to myself in a bold fashion. It seemed far more appropriate to do so in a humble way to me. Perhaps that's due to the upbringing I had with my Victorian grandmother's influence, bless her spirit. She taught me what it was to be a lady, and while I failed miserably at times, I knew what it was to conduct myself properly. I've spent my entire life trying to my best to emulate her own elegance, her own ladylike ways. She was an amazing role model with a heart of gold. And when the angels came to me with their message and sang to me, singing, "Take us to thy perfect light," it called for me to do some serious adjusting in order to embrace that request. I had to ask myself, how was I going to do that? How would I practice what I preached in this brighter light? It wasn't about being a celebrity, far from that. Then the answer simply came to me, just be myself, be the light, and the rest would take care of itself. All I had to do was acknowledge them, and they were there, surrounding me with their perfect light. And there I was, mingling mine with theirs. I just needed to put a little bit more enthusiasm into it. And you can too, my friends. Remember that you stand in your own light. Make it shine. Become a beacon. You can do that. Part of the process includes the journey of raising one's own vibration, of evolving and raising our frequency. You see, with that, we also raise our conscious awareness. Now, spiritual enlightenment and raising one's own vibrational frequency does not by any means mean that we become spiritually arrogant. What it means is that we become spiritually humbled, grateful, and respectful of our path, as well as the paths of others and where they are at presently. We do this with conviction. We do not judge, we do not condemn, nor do we need to belittle others' journeys that they're making in order to see ourselves as superior. That would definitely be spiritual arrogance. And there is a lot of it out there today. You're going to run into it. We see it in those teachings, in those who claim to have found it, in quotes, in those who want to be enlightened. We see it in our world leaders and politicians, our corporate executives, and even our celebrities. True enlightenment, indeed, will raise our vibration. It does touch us and humble us, leaving us in a state of awe for what we've been shown and privileged to experience. We feel that honor. That's what humbles us. We know we were gifted with a sacred moment. Now, that moment does not make us better than anyone else. It's not an image we fit into, and it certainly doesn't give us a measure of elite prestige. It simply assists us to walk our path with a bit more conviction, a bit more authenticity and clarity than we had before. It also means that the experiences of others are not something we're to envy or be jealous of. Instead, we're meant to feel joy for the clarity and authenticity they gained. True enlightenment brings forth internal rewards, while the externals are up to us to demonstrate and bring into being by example. The externals are born of what we do with the internal knowledge and understanding we've gained. True enlightenment is not about material gain. It's far, far greater than anything the physical world has to offer. It's about spiritual gains as we experience and are blessed to touch the cosmic expanse of our own wonderment, a wonderment that allows us to, in a given moment, become aware of our personal evolution. Moments are so precious. Do you pay attention to the present one that you're constantly having? When we observe the moment, we begin to see beyond ourselves to the wider expanse of the evolutionary factor in the oneness, in the world as it spreads across the globe and out into the universe and beyond the cosmos of all that is. Becoming enlightened does touch the emotions. I admit that, but it's not with arrogance. Instead, it touches them with the joy of being gifted with deeper spiritual understandings and perceptions that allow us to raise our vibration through our hearts. The emotion that we feel flooding us in that moment is not arrogant pride, but humble and unconditional permeating love. All with that, or along with all that we feel loved and surrounded by it. This experiential moment is a lesson teaching us how to expand into it, to merge or meld with it, to bring it back through us into our essence, so we can take it back out into the world. There's no competitiveness, just the desire to share the goodness it holds. Because we're moved to share, we also continue to attract it, and our frequency maintains that elevation for us automatically. We've attuned. Jealousy, envy, greed, these emotions, and others like them pull us down. They make us feel less than others whom we perceive to have more than we do. That's so unnecessary, and we do not need to put ourselves through those things. Instead, we're to recognize the contrary nature within us for what it is, dismiss it for the false illusion that it is, and transmute that into something far more positive. Think about it. Those who have achieved the largest bank accounts are often the loneliest people. And that's because they can't define which family or friends are real and who is false. They can't tell who's there to benefit from what they've gained material in life. They've lost sight of their own perceptions, and the fear of being taken advantage of creates distortions and the inability to properly discern truths. On the other hand, the poorest of people are often the most perceptive, the most discerning. They tend to be the most willing to share and shine by just being themselves. They see the truths for what they are, and they count their blessings rather than their money. They know true gratitude, live in humbled authenticity, and have learned compassion through their own struggles. They hold empathy for others who are struggling too, and they have learned how to reach out a hand and share what little they do have. There's no fear of loss, no better than, only knowing what's right. Measuring a spiritual journey by external gain, status marking, accomplishments, and exorbitant rates for services rendered are the norm. All this is arrogance, and it's superficial. Celebrity is a false illusion of elitism. We are all equal in the eyes of creation. Each and every one of us are precious and loved, none greater than another. I've lost count of the spiritual and mundane circles I've entered where egos rule and leadership wars of I'm more powerful and important than you are the theme for the day. It's disappointing to see, but it happens all the time. It's a clear sign that the enlightenments they've received were clearly misread and misunderstood. When enlightenment is gifted to us, it comes wrapped in that shiny, unconditional love I mentioned, tied up with ribbons of non-judgmental grace and bows of internal beauty. It turns up the wattage of our spirit so it shines brighter. And this raises its vibration, not our mind, not our physical body, it's our spirit that is to be changed. Our bodies may benefit, our minds may benefit, but our physical bodies are going to be left behind at some point. They wither and they die. It's the spirit that is eternal and ever evolving. So the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we see evolution through the truth of the spiritual eyes we all possess. We see the enlightenment as that inner light of that is starting to shine a little brighter, and we become a little better person than we were yesterday because we are consciously aware of how this allows us to step into more service to others, whatever that service role may be in our lives. Where we give, we serve. Have you heard the term It's far greater to give than receive. In order to learn what it is to receive graciously and to demonstrate that gratitude, we need to know what is called for in order to serve. Serving is a willing sacrifice. Receiving, we receive in gratitude, something we do when we willingly stop what we're doing to assist somebody else, be that a child, a family member, coworker, or stranger on the street. The understandings we hold then ring of truth. Our spirits can shine with the light of the increased frequency they now hold. And we, as humans, are the means of assistance they have to achieving the beacon they are meant to be. We need to wake up and see what true enlightenment really means. And when we do, we begin serving from the heart. We serve with compassion. We serve with the willing surrender to do all we can to make the world a better place, a little bit at a time, a step at a time, in whatever way we can. We employ our gifts and abilities to do just that in whatever ways we can utilize them. The light frequency of our spirit is what raises the vibration of our electromagnetic field surrounding our body. It's like a neon sign attracting others of like vibration to us and those who have aspired to humbly raise their own to a similar intensity. We're not better than anyone. We've simply achieved a level of understanding that's allowed us to take the next stepping stone across the stream of conscious awareness we're all trying to cross. Alignment of our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual states is of this attunement process. Thoughts are things, and we project them energetically out into the world, consciously or not. Our actions follow our thoughts, and therefore actions, it all carries out into the world, consciously or not, and our emotions project our energy out into the world, consciously or not, and our spirits shine out into the world, consciously or not. We're going to attract likeness to ourselves, those who are like us and those who are becoming like us, just as we are attracted to those who are like us and those we are becoming like. This applies to others, to situations and circumstances, to events in our lives and our spiritual experiences. It's all a universal web designed in a manner that when our spiritual eyes open, we can learn to navigate the whole thing with ease. Our spiritual enlightenments are meant to help us map our way, manage and develop the tools and abilities we need to navigate our physical life, and then face the challenges we're meant to solve as we encounter our lessons. We all have gifts to develop, gifts we brought with us, and we need to remember possessing them. Only we, as we open our eyes to these moments of enlightenment, can do that recollection, the remembering that is necessary to bring them forward. The enlightenments can sometimes help us do that. They help us get it, and it is truth about ourselves, about life, about our spirits, and our place within the oneness, as well as the place that holds others. We're able to see a much bigger picture than the narrow 3D view we're so used to. And I always say the work we're charged with, the most important focal point is us, within us, because it's there we come to see, to heal, to experience, and understand, so that we may personally involve and assist others. Spiritual development is self-development. It's not selfish in a negative sense, but it serves the self. It is within us that we center and balance ourselves so that we can be in harmony with the cycles of life we're passing through, so that we can be in balance with all that is. And enlightenment helps us see where we need to work on ourselves in order to raise our vibration. I could go on and on and on and on, but I do have some callers in line and I want to be able to get to them. So I'm going to leave the topic as it sits. I want to remind everyone that next week is an evening with me again, and I'm going to be talking about elemental changes and sacred spaces. You can find me on Facebook, MeWe, at Two Moons Talking, at Spirit Lodge. I'm all over the internet. Just Google my name, Cinnamon Moon. So next week, blessings and a warm good night. And by all means, keep your perfect light shining bright. And I'm going to take my callers now, and we'll go off the air with them. Here is the first caller is from area code 520, and then I'll be doing 216.
Like,
am I
$50 million?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, God. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. This Lisa?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Hi. How are you?
Excuse me. I'm so scared. I'm at one of my lowest. I've just been, well, I signed up. I started busting out of this isolation, you know, COVID-related isolation where you have to take care of yourself and not, you know, where, and you wear a mask and you don't go out and blah, 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 you know, in groups. But I signed up for a pottery studio because I'm a potter, and the person that is in charge of the pottery studio contacted me today. I was on my way in there, and he told me that he had been in contact with someone with COVID, you know, one of his students, and he's going to go get tested. And I said, well, I'm not going to come. I should get a refund. And we talked about it. He said he was going to go get tested. But anyway, my question would be, I'm just heart sick. You know, I relocated here. I know things are going to work out. And it's just, I'm just heart sick. You know, I had my grandson over and we went to the park, and, you know, I'm constantly making sure he's wearing his mask. I mean, everybody's living this life. It's not just me. I know it. I'm just probably being overly sensitive. You know, it's just, I'm tired. I'm just tired of the COVID stuff and the precautions we have to take. And I haven't had COVID. You know, I've been careful. Have you had COVID?
No. No, I haven't.
Yeah. Some people are shocked that I haven't had it.
It has gone through my family, though, and we've had death because of it. So,
oh, God.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand that way. I've just been blessed not to come down with it yet.
Yeah.
They say
eventually
everybody's going to get it. You can't avoid it. I mean, it's just, it's airborne stuff.
Yeah. I got the shots, all of the shots. I'm just calling in to see, I don't know, if you see anything picking up. You know, everything Zoom related, you know, right now. And I'm really tired of it. You know, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Me and everybody else, I suppose.
Yeah. We're seeing that up in Canada right now with their protests with the truckers. You know, it's crazy. I think everybody is fed up and spent, but I think that's kind of where they want us, so we have to bring our own energy back up in any way we can do it, and just get out there and say, hey, this is what I can do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with joy and love in my heart, you know? I see you.
You're right.
You have a very creative mind, and you can take an idea, and you can give it life, and you have that ability. Very fertile. You also are going to be releasing yourself in some manner, letting your energy flow over the next couple of weeks. And I see that by, let's see, late April, you're just letting the river carry you. You're cruising right along. So I think it's going to get better for you, yes, but you have to stay positive, honey, and you have to stay optimistic and keep your mind open to what can happen, because good things
can
come.
You're right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It is, you know, maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And I love listening to you. I'm going to ask you something, and you don't have to answer me. I know there's confidentiality about other callers, and I'm not trying to get into anyone's business.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, this name keeps coming to me. She's someone that has always called you, and she calls other shows, and now she just disappeared. I don't hear her calling anymore. And I know people stop calling for various reasons, but I hope she's okay. Her name was Laura, and she lived like in Florida or someplace, and she was always looking for a permanent job. She was in a temporary position. I'm just hoping she's okay. And, you know, I'm not...
I can't address that. I would imagine she is okay because she's not calling for help.
Yeah. Okay, good.
That's the way I look at things. If they're not calling in, they either found a different source of help or they don't need it anymore. Because we call when we're troubled, you know, we call when we're troubled about something. And so if she's not calling in to the other shows either, then she probably found that job and made a move and is preoccupied with her own life now because it's better.
Yeah. And it's not my business. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know there are boundaries, and I'm not trying to get into someone else's business. It's just for some reason, sometimes I pick stuff up and I keep blessing it.
Maybe it's because she's okay.
Good. I'll let it go at that. I'll just let it go at that.
Well, sit with her name. Sit with her name, Lisa, and see if it isn't her light shining to you. Maybe she's thinking of you and hoping your life takes a turn for the better, because it looks to me like that's what's going to happen. You need to trust in your own gifts and abilities. And when they're telling you something, you need to follow that. And I mean, you're asking me about Lisa or Laura. But I think it's you that has to find your way through your abilities. So think on her and just feel her energy and see if it feels good or bad to you.
Yeah, well, what I think you're right. No, I know you're right. And I think what I've been doing, and I think I'll continue doing it, is just releasing her name and sending it to the higher power, God. And because I really don't, I don't want to take on someone else's stuff. I've got enough. I just didn't know why I would be getting her name. You know, I just thought this is weird. And I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Usually when people go quiet, their life has taken a turn for the better. I got to let you go. I got one more person in line. I got to get them before we go off the air.
Thank you for calling in, honey.
Okay, area code 216. Good evening. You're on the air. Can I get your name, please?
Yes. Hi, this is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Fine.
Good.
I'd like to find out. I just got the idea last week that should I consider starting and opening a e-commerce store starting with printables. I would have to learn how to do this. So I'm also learning and teaching myself freelance writing. And then probably some other avenues to build some income for myself. Online tutoring English. But yes, should I start? I was considering taking a training that would probably start in a week or so with this e-commerce store, starting with principles and starting with other, then moving on as I learned how to operate them. Is that good for me right now, or should I wait till later on in the year, or what?
No, they're telling me it's a good time for you to begin. I see the leap of faith that you want to take. I really think, Patricia, you can put yourself in a position of advantage over the next 2 months, and that by springtime, you'll be ready to launch your Etsy.
Okay. So springtime, it can be launched, but I can start learning now.
Learning now and getting yourself ready for it, and it's perfect timing.
Okay.
That's why the
All
idea
right.
has been coming to you. And they're telling me that you will have reason to celebrate because the leap of faith is going to alter the course of your life for the better. Okay. It's going to be a
All
good
right.
day. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in, honey. You have a good night.
You too.
All righty. I want to send blessings to all of you who have tuned in. Thank you for listening to the show and following me each week. I love talking with you. Until next week, blessings. Keep your light shining bright, and we'll talk to you next Monday night. Bye, everybody.